The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We sincerely appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Lovely, beautiful downtown Las Vegas. It's gorgeous. What would you rank downtown Las Vegas up there with? The Miamis and the Los Angeleses of the world?
Absolutely.
Sure. It's right 100%. In there. It's right in the mix. I got it ranked right in there. Okay, maybe not. Mike Pritchard joins us. Steve Fezzik still to come. Mike Pritchard joins us now. He actually played the game. First round draft pick, Atlanta Falcons back in 1991. And of course, national champion at Colorado. VSiN Zone. How you doing, Pritch?
How y'all?
Oh, doing very well.
Good.
Let me ask you a somewhat uncomfortable question to start?
Sure, why not?
Because I know you're close to Eric Bieniemy, and yesterday Ben Johnson turned down all coaching jobs, including the Washington job, the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. He has opted to stay. And so both Washington and Seattle, but specifically in the case of Washington, still looking for a coach. Eric Bieniemy was interviewed. Was not the most stellar offensive year for Washington. I think I'm putting it, kindly in that way. It wasn't like an outstanding year. But what do you get the sense of with him now in terms of serious versus non-serious consideration? Do you think it was like a legit consideration with Bieniemy right now in Washington or not at all?
Well, Washington, as you know, Gil, has been a mess, and I think they're still cleaning it up. And, you're right. I'm close to Eric. And I think what Eric took over was dysfunction. At one point, Sam Howell was a leading passer in the National Football League, but he was also the most sacked quarterback, too. You're also dealing with a rookie quarterback or a quarterback that doesn't have a lot of experience, and you're trying to implement this system that is quarterback friendly. Right. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what direction Washington wants to go in. I don't know if they even know what direction they want to go in, to be honest with you. But I think away from Andy Reid, people were questioning the lack of creativity with Kansas City, right? But then Kansas City kind of figures it out. But they got Patrick Mahomes, and they have a lot of continuity on their side. And I think when you leave that situation and you go try to make your own situation or bring shine to your own situation, that can get difficult at times. And I think that's what Eric ran into.
Yeah, it's a fascinating situation, and we'll see what happens in both vacancies here moving forward. Yeah. All right, Super Bowl 58. I've couched it every day this week by saying it's a fascinating handicap in the one sense that if you just go back a month to Christmas night when both the Niners and the Chiefs were on the wrong end of blowouts, that the Niners probably would have been a 5 or 6 point favorite still back then on a neutral field. They're only a 1.5 or 2 point favorite here, too, at DraftKings. On the other hand, right, so there's that the Niners would have been this much bigger favorite a month ago. And then on the other hand, if you do the whole T-chart checkbox thing, the Chiefs get the check in probably every category: coaching, kicking, quarterbacking, tight end, defense, except for, offense versus offense, if you took it as a collective. So right. on the one hand, advantage Niners with the spread a month ago. On the other hand, recency, advantage Chiefs. What is more important to you of those two things?
Experience. I'm going to throw that in there. I know you didn't mention it, but experience to me, I think really could determine this game. One of the things I think bettors should take into account, and by no means am I like an expert handicapper or anything. People are going to cap this game however they want. But you look at how Kansas City has completely changed and shifted once they got to the postseason. And it feels like San Francisco is adjusting along the way, and they have a lot of adjustments, right? So I think experience, like for instance, like if you use power rankings, everybody thought the Ravens was the best team in the National Football League. Hell, they destroyed San Francisco. But then on their home field, Kansas City kind of destroyed them. So where do you go with power rankings too, right? I just separate the seasons, preseason, regular season, obviously now you got postseason. And I use experience to my advantage, and who can settle down the quickest out there to execute, right? Because you got the top two, three defenses in the National Football League, and yet Kansas City is finding ways to execute offensively. And then whether it's a slow start or not, San Francisco catches up and they're highly explosive. So that's where it really gets difficult in terms of the numbers game for me, to use your show name there. But I'm leaning on experience heavily in terms of trying to determine, okay, who's going to have the advantages, who's going to be able to execute, and who's going to be able to handle the pressure the best.
Ah, Pritch, you do that with every show. You throw in the show title and in one of your spiels. Is that what you do? I shouldn't be.
Kind of.
Well, so here's the other thing we brought up earlier. Will brought this up, Will Hill, and I think it's as great a point as any about this, which is to say that the biggest factor might be so obviously staring us in the face. I think obviously, you know, the stage perhaps being, you know, maybe it's going to take an adjustment period for Purdy versus Mahomes, who like lives there basically, right? Like, I think that's obviously the, you know, the most glaring thing. But the other one is the notion of the AFC versus the NFC. And maybe we haven't harped on this enough this year, which is just to say, to the Chiefs in the playoffs alone have beaten the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Ravens. Those are three top 10 power ranked teams for everybody all year. The Niners' best win all year is the Cowboys, you know, the Seahawks, that kind of ilk of team. The Jaguars they beat as well. But that's, we're sort of, you know, in that kind of range of football teams as opposed to what the Chiefs just went through. Could it be that the Chiefs are just in a conference that was so much better than the NFC to begin with, that that's the easiest handicap of all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we knew the AFC was top heavy, or actually the NFC was top heavy, if we think about it, and then it was wide open. And then the more competitive conference, I guess, as it played out, was going to be the AFC. And then you look at Kansas City and they faltered a little bit because of all these teams. Remember how Buffalo was the hottest team in the National Football League down the stretch. But then, okay, Kansas City took care of business in Buffalo. Right. And it goes back to my point about how the Chiefs in this experience and this machine, they know how to adjust during pro season. They know how to get ready. They know how to prepare. They know what to do. They know the mindset. They're going to come out to Vegas. They're going to know exactly what to do. Whereas, you know, you look at San Francisco, there's some players first time around. Okay. Yeah. There's some experience on that roster, but there's a lot of players that are like, okay, what do we do? Where do we go? Okay, who do we see? Okay, what time do I have to be there? What time do I have to do this? And then you get to game day, right? You get to the Super Bowl, and it's such a long process before you get into your normal routine. And that's something that you have to adjust to. And you see slow starts like, okay, San Francisco, are they going to get off to another slow start in this Super Bowl against that defense, which will be the best defense they face certainly in the playoffs, as we know. I don't know the 49ers can get off to a slow start and then ask Brock Purdy to come from behind against those guys and Spagnuolo and all that, right?
Pritch,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I was going to say, then you have the experience of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, how they matriculate in 8 o'clock. And they've been doing that and executing, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, and capping off drives that way.
I said what you just said about scoring first on Monday on our Monday show, which is obviously scoring first matters a lot in any NFL game. I usually say for game 7 of hockey postseason series, I just say, oh, whoever scores first, whoever gets the puck in the net first and goes up 1-0, like what a massive advantage in a game 7 of a hockey playoff series. But I think in this particular football game, having seen what we just saw with the Niners against the Packers and against the Lions, that particular detail is actually more important than it ever, you know, it is as important as we've ever made it in any one football game, because I do think you're right. I think the Niners cannot expect. They did it against Detroit. They escaped. They did it against Green Bay the week before, escaping. They can't expect to escape against Mahomes if they fall behind. By the way, though, I will actually add the other way too. I'm not sure that if the Chiefs fall behind, and we're talking two scores here, obviously anyone can make up one score, but if the Chiefs fall behind two scores, I'm not sure they can match the Niners pound for pound at that point either. So I think it's maybe, you know, it's important in every game, but doesn't it feel like it's hugely important in this one?
Oh, totally. Totally. I think the Chiefs would prefer a cage match, like you know, close to the vest, very physical. Let's get this thing into that final round, or in this case, the fourth quarter, and because we have the ultimate competitor. We have the ultimate playmaker. We have a guy who can execute this offense, make the throws when he needs to, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown. We feel very confident about that. But whereas, you know, if we're the Chiefs, you want to put that pressure on Brock Purdy to see if he can come through with that. Like, if you play this game wide open, and give the 49ers opportunity after opportunity, and they get into a rhythm, then the pressure's off of Brock Purdy, right? And certainly it's off of Kyle Shanahan. We know Kyle Shanahan's record late in games. They're 1-30, I think, right? From a capping standpoint, I'm factoring that into it. And I certainly know that Andy Reid and Spags and that defense, they understand that too. When you have the ultimate weapon competitor, like I mentioned with Patrick Mahomes, you have to feel better about your chances of winning if you can get this game in the fourth quarter. Do not let this thing get out of hand or get away from you, because you do know that all you do need is a few plays, and these guys are capable of making a handful of plays to help you get the job done.
Yeah, Shanahan 1-30 when down 7+ points as the coach of the Niners. Right. Obviously, the one happening against the Packers a couple weeks ago. So, sounds like you're on the Chiefs, Pritch, or you want to wait till next week?
I'm waiting. Right. Okay. There's some injuries that key injuries. Chris Jones, that he's going to be a factor if he's completely healthy. We'll see though. But I'm going to wait till next week with all the hoopla.
All the hoopla. Mike Pritchard, everybody, at MI Pritchard on Twitter. Thank you, Mike, as always.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, take care, guys.
We'll come back. Steve Fezzik will join us for three segments of Super Bowl talk and all things sports betting beyond. It's a numbers game with Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. It is my pleasure to welcome back on the show. He hasn't been on in a long time.
Yeah.
He's always on with Patrick and Amal and Dustin on Sharp Money. Lucky them. We are fortunate to have him now because he's doing a doubleheader with us after the show. We're doing our 13th annual. Good God. We were kids when this started. 13th annual Vegas Lifestyle Podcast, A Man's Guide to Sin City. And he just learned that Todd Wishnev was not going to be on, and he's very distraught. It's Steve Fezzik, everybody. Hilton's only back-to-back contest winner. How you doing, man?
I'm disappointed. So Todd Wishnev is on every Megapod except for the one that Steve Fezzik is on. You draw your own conclusions, folks, but Occam's razor, right? All things being equal, the most logical conclusion is Todd does not want to talk to me today.
The true conclusion is he and Will both thought they had nothing to offer to it. And we know in Todd's case, he actually does have something to offer. It's just the kind of Vegas lifestyle podcast we used to do 10 years ago kind of stuff.
My favorite Will story is in town with his wife and his lovely family.
Yes.
So I bring him into the Cromwell, into the VIP room. So we're emptying out like all the goodies and the snacks and the Cokes and the adults are having the adult beverages. And like 5 minutes later, in comes the casino manager. It's like it's obviously 21 and over only.
Yeah.
But Will's family is so adorable. Like, take a few minutes. Take everything. Just I need you today.
Take it. Go ahead.
Right.
Will has, I think, 14 children.
I think you're close.
Yeah.
Has he even had time to come in town for his cabana? Didn't he win a cabana?
He did win a cabana. That's good, but we should get a cabana.
I think that's still pending. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's still. Now, all this stuff, all the Vegas stuff where you're going to teach people like the Vegas hacks, if you will, that's for the lifestyle pod. We're not going to do that here.
Of course.
Even though people are fascinated to hear all your stuff about that. That's going to be in the podcast.
Once again, the man who leaves every day to drive to the strip to work out at Caesar's Palace. That's
right.
The guy who you got to tell.
The guy.
Yep.
It's the guy. Listen, every day I get free drinks now because of Steve. I had no idea this was possible. Every day, free drinks.
We're going to turn Gil from a teetotaler into an alcoholic within like 18 months.
I just get apple juice and Gatorade. That's the difference.
That's the story.
Yeah, but you get the good stuff. You get like Martinelli's over there or something like that.
No, but another thing is, Steve, like I was getting these small Fijis. Steve's like, you can get these massive Fijis over there. I'm like, oh, he knows everything. Every little thing this man knows. It's incredible.
That's a thing at every casino, by the way, right? Like, they give out the little ones to everybody, but someone's always got a fridge stocked full of the big water
incredible.
Bottles.
It's incredible. I have Kim Kardashian's refrigerator. It's nothing but Fiji waters in there. Okay. let's talk about this for a second. One, before we get to Super Bowl 58, what has been like the most famous Fezzik thing in the last year, besides you killing people on Twitter, which again, we have to talk about. You're a nice guy in real life. I don't know what happens to you. What is your problem on Twitter? That's a whole thing.
It's me.
It's me.
It's not you. It's me.
It's clearly you. But it's when you bet the money line on Purdue in the 16-1 game. In the NCAA tournament,
infamously lost the $80,000. Yes, betting Purdue laying like around minus 5,000, and you know I regret that bet, not because I made it, but because there was actually better pricing available. So I should have actually lost more money. My advantage player Elihu Feistel,
yeah,
got word that I, as smartest guy I know, and Matt Davidow might be the smartest guy, but one or the other.
I'm gonna go Feistel. Davidow is a pretty dead heat.
Either way, they're getting a buy. They're getting a buy in the playoffs, into
buys.
The next round.
That's right.
But I alerted Elihu, and he's like, "Oh yeah," he's like, "I got minus 2,800." So like, so he got spanked on that game as well. And I regret the fact that if you did the handicap, the Purdue had bad guards and the like, and probably that was a game to, if you're going to avoid donking off a big part of your March Madness bankroll, that was probably the one. But no, I lost big.
Purdue losing to, of course, what was it? Was Fairleigh Dickinson? Was that who they were playing?
I can't remember. It was one of those schools. It has no name. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. So you got a lot of incoming on Twitter for this. And you just. You are determined now to what you said to me. You're going to win this back unit by unit. You just bet the money line on Purdue last night?
I did. So there was a rogue line. So Northwestern's playing Purdue, and Northwestern upset Purdue at home in Evanston. So it's a great spot for Purdue. Northwestern's also been styling. They just beat Illinois. They're going to get blasted in this game. So I'm like, I like Purdue laying 13. And I could lay it 12.5. I'm like, what's this? There's a money line below.
What's this?
There's a money line below minus 700. And I text Todd. Are you up? Are you alive? He's like, yes, Steve. He's like, I think we got to move. I think we got to move on this money line here. So we went ahead and laid like just under minus 700 on the game. But like the math is that even if I didn't like Purdue in the game,
right?
I just looked it up. So 13-point favorites historically, every single one of them win about 90% of the time. So they do lose 10% of the time. It's not a lock. It could lose. But so if I lay minus
90% is not 100%.
If I lay minus 900, I will indeed break even making a bet like that. And I was laying less than my 700, and I liked the game on top of it. So if I have any acumen of handicapping expertise, it's really unnecessary because just it's a pure math play. It's good regardless.
Which you are admitting with the Fairleigh Dickinson one, you did not have the acumen, you were saying.
I completely dropped the ball on my handicap, and that's on me. And I think part of this is, you know, it's like the number one seeds are typically 22 or higher point favorites.
Yeah.
Not always, but they're like 156-2. So you do the math and you're like, okay, I win 156 units. And if I lose two of them times 50, that's one minus 100 units and you net 56 units. So one unit at a time, as long as I live to be 80, I fully expect
that's right
to get all this back. And if you and I can get to the gym more often, I'm a favorite. Yeah.
I think you're a favorite if we go to the gym. So I just have to, because it occurs to me that there's going to be a portion of the audience that hears what you're saying. There's going to be a portion that says, oh, look, he knows the math. The math makes sense. That's why Steve Robotic Fezzik, if you will make that kind of play because he's all math oriented and he's going to make it. There is going to be a portion of this audience listening to this, though, and you know this exists, that is out there and they're saying, I don't care about his mathety math on that. There is no chance in hell average better is ever going to lay that number ever because of the implosion part of it. To them, you would say, are you okay with that attitude?
Yeah, of course. It's okay. You know, everybody makes their own decisions on what they wager on. If you're not comfortable making bets like this, you know, we're talking about Super Bowl now and Super Bowl props. You know, there's only been one overtime in 57 games. I've led the charge on this thing where it used to be you could bet no overtime. You could risk 600 to win 100. One time at Harris, we laid 500 to win 100. And people are like, how? You got to be a madman. Why are you laying minus 500? I'm like, because it should be like minus 2,200.
Right.
You know, it's been unlucky that there's only been one overtime. There really should have been three, but it was still a good bet. One thing that's my pet peeve is people like massively criticize me. We should have, it's okay. It would have been okay if you would have parlayed it with a bunch of stuff, you know?
And you love parlay, Steve. Everybody knows that.
Well, just the math is that people think by the like it's almost like my cousin Vinny, where Joe Pesci comes out. Maybe the laws of physics don't apply in the Southeast U.S. because like maybe the magic jumping grits get prepared in 5 minutes instead of 15. But you know what? The second you put a minus 900 into a parlay, you are indeed laying minus 900. I assure you, you didn't magically stop laying minus 900. And people say, yeah, but my ticket pays even money on my 4-team money line parlay. So I'm not laying minus 900. And I'm just like, okay.
Are you betting the no overtime this year?
It depends what price I get. So I'm disappointed on the initial price. It's minus, I think I saw like minus 1200. And so I need like a minus 800, you know, to go ahead because there's other good bets to make, obviously.
You're like, oh, so minus 1200 is crazy. Yeah,
I'm not going to make a stupid bet like that, yeah. But minus, and oftentimes remember the public loves to bet a little to make a lot. They love the plus money. Oh, yeah. And the pros are typically betting the minuses, yeah. Most famously three consecutive scores. Pros love yes for three consecutive scores. And the public,
we talked about this first thing yesterday. Yeah.
So think about the Niners playoffs, like the Niners, it was such a close game against Detroit. All right. The Niners scored five straight times in that game.
Yeah.
And there was a 3-point outcome. It happens all the time. The Tennessee Titans, the Rams Super Bowl, like, oh, what a close, low scoring game. Both teams scored three straight times.
This was the first thing I mentioned on the show yesterday. Someone quipped it was random. I told him it was not random, that this is in fact the prop, in case you missed yesterday, that flummoxes the average better the most. Either team to score three unanswered times, you figure it's the best team in the AFC, it's the best team in the NFC, and the no is plus money? Well, of course that's a bet. Three in a row against these great opponents, it happens all the time.
All the time.
If it's four unanswered, it flips. That is true. But no, you know, in that case, it is what you think it should be. But this is accurately priced. This is accurate. But the yes should be juiced to minus 165 or higher.
And all things being equal, obviously don't play into 40-cent straddle. Find some place that doesn't rob you with a ski mask on your straddle. But bet yes, if it got to your head. Yes.
I just want you to be okay with the person who is not willing to lay minus 800.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Okay. We'll get into why this Super Bowl threatens to be one that sharp bettors, pro bettors hate. This kind of circumstance and why the second half of this particular matchup is bothersome as well with Steve Fezzik on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. All you got to do is use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website. I list what we got there. Daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
Game, folks, the fine program you're watching or listening to right now, that's promo code ANG. ANG.
Works better when your mic was on.
Can you spell that?
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199 with promo code ANG. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander's Kelly Bidlin. That is the voice of the only back-to-back Hilton Super Contest winner, Steve Fezzik. When you won those, and I juxtapose this against this year where you had part of the millions cash, you cashed in there, and you, of course, were part of the Survivor entry that won with Greg Jones. Your frame of mind now versus your frame of mind then. Back then, were you like, oh my God, this is really happening? Because you're like the opposite of that now. Now this is so ho-hum to you.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's stressful. And part of it is that, I mean, this town and with all we do, people think that this is just fun. Oh, it's a fun time. And I was joking. A lot of people are like, oh, the season has just flown by this year. And like everybody I know is like we're like on our walkers trying
so
to go. Well, yeah, we could barely like we've had the flu twice and we've been up all night and we're working 18 hours. Like, good God, when is this interminable season going to finally end, right?
Staggering to the finish line with our walkers for sure. All right. So a couple things. And I've teased this a couple times today. So let's take this game as a whole. Super Bowl 58 between the Chiefs and the Niners. It's 1.5 consensus in favor of the Niners. It's a 2 at DraftKings. As it was, I don't know if threatening is the right word, but maybe threatening is. We got to 1, and it looked like it might get to a pick 'em. And you'll tell me if this applies to a 1.5 also. Why is it that pro bettors do not like this kind of thing?
We hate pick'ems so much because it's so easy. Sharp fifth grader can price a third of the props. Who's going to get more yards? Who's going to get more first downs? Who's going to win the third quarter, the fourth quarter, the second quarter? By the way, both teams defer when they win the coin toss. So it's 50-50 who's going to start with the ball. So that was not the case with some other games where there are advantages. Famously, we talked about
Green Bay, San Francisco.
And we bet Green Bay +3 in the first quarter. How good is that?
Oh.
And they get the ball first. Didn't really matter, as it turned out. They would have covered anyways. But obviously, you know, it's a big edge. So, you know, when all of a sudden, who's going to have more punts? You know, this trickles down. Who's going to have more yards? Who's going to have more first downs?
It's all derivative.
I think I'll make San Francisco a -115 favorite on everything.
Right, yeah.
And you're good. You're covered. You know, interesting dynamic on this is that this is the second time in a row I got the line move wrong. So I thought for sure when Baltimore was like a 3.25 favorite, when you know the open was 3 to 3.5, I'm like, there is no way.
Yeah.
No way Patrick Mahomes is going to stay as a 3.5-point favorite. And I was correct. Except I
went the other way.
Got it wrong.
That's right.
I bet big on 3.5. And what's this? There's Jeff Benson. We have +5. Where are you, Steve Fezzik? Don't you want to get your Purdue money back? Come bet +5. So it went the other way. So here, I'm like, okay, people are saying the look-ahead line last week was 3. They're correct. That was the opener. But the pros took Kansas City +3. It was the closing look-ahead number was +2.5.
Yes, it was.
So what's happened since then? Well, Kansas City looked really good. And the Niners looked really bad versus expectation. So clearly, there is no way we can have a -2.5 line on the Niners anymore or anything close to it. Yet we do, because the line's 2 in a whole lot bunch of places, and the dynamic, you're right. So it started out like 2.5. It came crashing down to 1, and what's this? A tsunami of early 49er money. Finally, I don't think I'm allowed to say this, but Right Angle Sports likes the favorite. They like San Francisco, and that pushed it up to 2. So now I'm thinking to myself, well, here we go again. I like Patrick Mahomes. I've got God at quarterback, and somehow I'm on with all this history of success, and somehow I'm on an island versus the big money.
So you are on the Chiefs then. You like this against the big money. Okay.
Yes.
The other thing about this matchup, specifically between the Chiefs and the Niners, is that there is a go-to bet that you like to make that kind of gets snuffed out here. Explain that.
Yeah, so I love slow-starting Super Bowls. And we saw this with the New England Patriots. Famously, no one would ever score in their first quarter. So greatest, you know, dynasty of all time can't score in the first quarter. And their opponents can't score. But it's true of all Super Bowls. So in general, if you did nothing but, okay, I'm just going to go to, you know, vacation for 2 weeks and the plane lands an hour. The Super Bowl's going to start an hour. I'm going to bet no overtime. And I'm going to bet the second half to outscore the first half. Or I might bet the first half under, or I might bet the first quarter under, or there'll be no scoring in the first 6 minutes. Game starts slow, then it picks up. Second half, famously, much higher scoring. So I'm ready to go. I got my bankroll ready to because I know people are going to bet this, so I'll bet it before they do. What's this? Oh, Kansas City. What have they done all year long? Their games have, you know, pretty much meet expectations in the first half. And then it's like that character Kang in the original Star Trek. He's a Klingon.
Sure.
Where he yells, "Cease hostilities." And no more scoring occurs. And Mahomes famously has like a 6-minute, 48-yard drive to run out the clock, but no points. And so the Kansas City Chiefs are a dead nut second half under, like 16 out of 18 games and fourth quarter under. So historically, I'm supposed to bet on second half overs in Super Bowls, and I'm supposed to bet on Kansas City games this year under in the second half to offset, and I'm screwed, and I don't know what to bet.
The Kansas City thing in the second half is more than one way, too, right? Like, so they have a propensity for really long drives. That's one thing. And then even this last week against Baltimore, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Mahomes even kind of hinted at this, that he kind of, when they took a lead, basically shut it down in a way where it was like, I'm not taking any more risks. we're just going to, you know, if there's something that's 50-50, I'm just going to throw it away kind of thing, which is so unlike the Mahomes that we have in our brain. But he has realized astutely that there are limitations with his offense and that that's still the best win probability thing for him to do. And so that plays into that as well.
And in Spags, we trust.
So in Spags, we trust.
The DC makes phenomenal adjustments at halftime such that even if you score in the first half against him, that Kansas City defense, which you could say is certainly a top 10 defense, but it is a elite defense in the second half.
Yeah, for sure. So is there anything besides this? So you like the Chiefs on the game. Have you bet it already? You've bet the Chiefs already.
Points or money line, by the way, Steve? Does Steve Fezzik take plus question. 2.5 or great does he question. Take money line?
Okay, so I want to address this because this is my pet peeve where people are like, oh, that's a 2-point dog. You got to go ahead and take the money line, all right? And it's like, this is a geek answer because it's just like, and my buddies over at Unabated, like Captain Jack and the like, and I say my buddies because some of them don't like me. Imagine that.
People don't like, wow, I'm can't stumped. Imagine
but
that
they do all. But they do a great job, and they basically can say, all right, historically, do I want to play plus 2? And let's say you can get a minus 105, or do I want to play plus 122? And it's real close, but they'll spit out like what the better number has been historically. And I'm the same with baseball, with like the plus 1.5 versus taking the money. I just look at the chart, and whatever the chart says is the better play I play. Now, some people will say, well, Super Bowls historically have been a little more variant, so maybe you go money line because maybe the historical numbers are a little bit off. I'm fine with that to go ahead and say. And also, if it's a really close game, doesn't it feel like it's Kansas City that's more likely to win?
I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But just to clarify, you are taking the points. You're taking the points.
Yeah, plus 2. And one thing I'll say is, you know, video killed the radio star. I think betting exchanges are going to kill sports on island games, not on everything else. I mean, you're not going to be able to, there's not enough liquidity to bet college basketball totals or props or anything else. But I'll go as far as you shouldn't even be laying minus 105, like Profit Exchange in New Jersey.
Bro.
Like if you're in New Jersey, you get your to profit, you put your money in and literally you're going to get plus 2 or minus 2, minus 101. So do you want to pay a dollar for a hamburger or do you want to pay $10 for the hamburger laying minus 110? I will say this, if you go to Victory Burger, I think it's okay to pay $17. It was really good yesterday.
That's the podcast part, Steve.
Sorry.
Hold it. That thing about profit, that profit exchange sports trade, it's so true. If that existed in Nevada, what percentage of your betting takes place on that, do you think?
That's a great question. Because it depends on what I'm talking about. In college basketball totals, very, very little because there's no liquidity.
Right.
On NFL playoffs, 95%. Because literally I'm playing at minus 101 and I can put an offer up and then I don't pay any commission on top of it. By the way, you do pay a 1% commission, which is not to go into the math. It's an extra 2 cents. So if you accept an offer at minus 101 on an exchange, you're essentially laying minus 103. Just take my word for it.
We will take
your
word for it.
That is, I think people that use those out there should know that for sure.
Real quick, how do you like the new BetMGM Nevada app? And how do you like the newish Caesars thing? Are you seeing a trend to the positive here in Nevada?
Maybe I'm just compromised a little bit in my computer skills. I'm still trying to figure it out and navigate.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on the Caesars part of it. The Caesars thing's a little different, so it takes a minute.
I got prompted with a new app download last night.
It tells me when I make a bet, though. They're like, here's your, hold on a second, Emperor. I'm like, thank you very much.
It's
thank
looking pretty much. Good.
Steve Fezzik continues to join us on the other side. We'll pick his brain some more on Super Bowl 58 and beyond. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free, I do mean free, VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, great breakdown of the sort of electoral college of Super Bowl 58 betting, state by state, from Bill Ady. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Let me tell you what I was just talking about. So in the newsletter, biggest Chiefs backing state by handle, Kansas, no surprise there. Biggest 49ers backing state by handle, what would you guess?
Northern Nevada.
New Jersey. 72% backing the Niners of the handle. biggest over, Louisiana, biggest under, New Jersey. Anyway, it's all in there. I won't give it all away.
Yeah, these are all the
draft. Oh, there you go. You do.
All the DraftKings eligible states. So Steve might actually be right.
biggest Chiefs money line at DraftKings and all their states is West Virginia. And the biggest Niners money line back to New Jersey at 72%. So anyway, state by state breakdown. When you have 2 weeks to break down one football game, you get into stuff like this.
Yeah.
Remember when we were accumulating states, how we would do it on primetime action all the time? Every week in the NFL, we'd be like, what's the most popular bet in Tennessee? It was always the Titans, right?
At that point, there was like five states, and we were adding one like every month.
Yeah.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, because I wasn't good with history.
Steve Fezzik, everybody, by the way.
Hi, guys. I believe because an election's coming up next year, and I'm not going to get into politics at all. Yes, what is it? Unconfirmed special investigative reporting.
That's right.
A&G has shown this. I don't care about it. All I want to do is make money betting on it. I don't really have a dog in the fight.
That's me, too.
And I go back to the it not being legal to bet on the election here, but it is in England. Weren't we persecuted and like we fled England to have personal rights and like so we could do what we wanted that didn't hurt anyone?
According to the history books, yes, that
it
is what happened.
Seems we've had a juxtaposition of the country's positions on these things.
Oh, man, that's great.
Right?
That's very true.
Sounds mildly political, but yeah, not the kind of politics we want to avoid. I understand. By the way,
the handle would be amazing if they allowed it.
I mean, yeah, that was Jimmy Vaccaro's thing for all these years, right? Like, if you ever want people to be more engaged and involved in politics and in a presidential election, get them to be able to bet on it.
If you can grab Trump plus 37.5 electoral votes, you got to do it, right?
It's going to be fascinating for sure. We always on a numbers game, we always talk about it from an apolitical perspective, and we have had a boon doing it through the years. Jason Weingarten has chimed in, Mac Verstanding, Pamela Maldonado, everybody gets in on the election stuff here on the show. Okay. First of all, do you want to tell everybody what your wife says about me, which really bothers me? So, you go ahead. Tell
them. It really bothers you. Well, I'm sorry. My wife really likes Gilly. So we're actually may I disclose? Are you single right now?
I am not single. No, I'm not single.
Oh, you're not single.
It's another story.
Oh, that's so much better.
That's fantastic. So I bad single. Information. My wife has a friend who's rather cute, and so she was thinking about like, hey, do you got any good cool single friends? I'm like, of course not. My friends are math geeks, and they're like sports bettors, and like, well, how about that Gilly guy? I've seen him. He looks good, and so she liked him, but then what happened?
He was top of the list somehow.
So she's watching.
Let's get to the good part.
She's watching Gilly.
There comes the good
part. And he's like, what's this? He never used to do that over at the South Point. He's got a button up. Is he like Kerry Casanova? That's not cool.
So at the South Point, right, no one ever said a word. But here at the Barcana at the D, the way that our table is and where the computer's cut off, some shirts, right? Some shirts, the button goes up where you're like, oh, okay, he's wearing a normal shirt. Like this white one kind of works. It kind of gets a little flayed, but usually it's normal. I have like another shirt that where the button is.
We're right back to Seinfeld again. It's all about the second button.
It's the second button. And so where this computer laptop cuts you off, it looks like I've got a plunge down to my belly button.
Yep, you and Febby.
And so
Febby on the weekend.
Febby's got the problem too?
He's more wide open, and it looks like he's just rocking.
Thank
like he
you,
doesn't
Femi.
Have anything buttoned.
Thank you for backing me up, Femi, on this.
Is Femi single?
You could need to ask Femi.
All right.
So
we'll talk.
Yeah. So imagine.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Not sure, though.
Imagine, though, that was like her when she thought that, right? She's like, oh, that's the difference between someone being, let's say I were, right? Let's say I was single. The someone being single versus someone not like being eligible was a button. That's what I read into that. About Super Bowl 58 here, if we may transition inartfully. What are you looking to bet? What have you bet or that you're willing to share?
Sure. So, you know, I found a prop. I love this prop so much. It opened the season. And I apologize because obviously it moved. But they have a prop scoring drive. What is the shortest in terms of time, not yardage, time? What is the shortest drive that will result in points? And the over-under was 55.5 seconds. All right. Special teams touchdowns don't count. Interception touchdowns don't count. Kick returns don't count. What would you say? What would you price that? Clearly, the over should be favored. Over 55.5 seconds. What do you think the pricing should be?
Oh, my God. Massive.
Massively
high.
Guess what it opened?
What?
Pick.
Wow.
Wait, what?
Wow.
I didn't.
Shortest drive, what?
55.5 seconds.
Was that a pick 'em?
Yes. Now it's minus 230. to the over. Oh, I still like it. So
I saw this prop yesterday. I thought it jumped out to me a little bit, Steve, because I saw it, and I don't remember where. It might have been DraftKings, might have been somewhere else. And they were, the way they had worded the prop was, which will go longer, the national anthem or the shortest scoring drive. And I thought that was an interesting comparison. Ooh. But that, you know,
Reba's quick. We already determined yesterday.
We're still talking about 30 more seconds than what he just mentioned, at least.
28. 27. Reba's quick.
But yes, number in his mind
your point,
sure,
your point is well taken. That's crazy. So where was that widely available? Caesars.
Caesars or Palace. Yes.
See, this is the thing. If it's out there and it's exploitable, you will find it.
Yeah. And then we had this spirited discussion about, well, wait, surely a drive isn't like a kickoff return or an interception return touchdown. I'm like, but it's not clarified. And I was like, how can
But
I know people that know that know people. So they went back and they confirmed that those will not indeed count. So that's part of the reason. And like one of the plus V I was critical on Twitter. So one of the plus EV analytics guys says, well, you simply can't bet something like that when it's like shrouded in mystery. And directionally, he's largely right. But here's a case where, well, you just got to have guys. You got to have guys who can confirm what the rules are. Yes.
See, what happens to you on Twitter? Can we just talk about that for 1 second? So Matt Buckhalter you're referring to, plus EV analytics? Is that who we're talking about?
It might have been somebody else. Okay, I can't be 100% sure.
What do you think happens to you when you see something on Twitter and you just cannot bring yourself not to go after it? What happens inside of you?
So I blame Phil Hellmuth. I'm not going to blame myself. So
Phil Hellmuth's fault.
What a guy to blame.
Yeah. So Hellmuth had this shtick and I loved it and people hated him for it, but like it's like he's like this is donkey stuff. This is supposed to be the world's greatest players playing in the World Series of Poker, and here comes this guy, and he's just like, I'm just going all in with King Queen. You know, what do you think I'm going to call you with? A hand probably better than King Queen, and just dunks off his stack, and I got Ace King, and of course a Queen flops. So these idiots, this guy isn't even, he just doubled through me. He's not even going to be around to the end of day two, and he gets all these chips. It's just so unfair.
Now, Steve, are you talking about just classic Hellmuth in general or more the World Series when it really exploded, where he would always go off on the like internet geeks and everything sitting there? What I would notice.
Does it all the time, but I've seen him in person. I played in a blackjack tournament with him, and believe me, I don't think he's acting necessarily. I think it's entertaining, and like I took it too far. So I'm going to be a friendly, happier, nicer person.
But you're not going to be able to keep that promise, are you?
Of course.
That's what I'm saying. Like, come on. Stop it. Come on, Kobe. You're in a tiebreaker as a north of a $2 dog. Get it done here against Gael Monfils.
You know what? But the intentions are good. You know, they might not last forever, but at least the intentions right away are good. Okay? From Steve.
Yeah, for like 10 seconds. And as soon as I turn the corner, he's doing it again. What was the other thing we were talking about? Like you had this philosophy of, because when I used to do baseball, you used to aggregate baseball picks. And I used to say, hey, Steve, you can't do that. Like I did the work to have these baseball picks. You can't just take mine without consent. And you're like, oh, no, it's fine. It's out there now.
It's okay.
I'm like, no, it's not.
It's all good.
And for a moment, he did the same thing. He's like, oh, you think that's wrong? Oh, you're right. Okay, I want to. Second, I turn the corner. He's doing it again. What are you doing? What are you, like a child? You can't be held.
I have a fiduciary responsibility to my clients that purchase my picks that I have to try to give them the very best information I can.
Wow. And
so for me not to utilize that public information to help them win would be selfish of me.
Did you give him Flavio Cobolli over Gael Monfils? Come on, Cobolli, get this done. Get a set under your belt here.
I love the tennis over-unders because I have no idea how to price an over-under because like it makes sense that like a pick'em game match is going to have more points, obviously, games won. But then it's like, do some players do better down 0-1? That's the door. And some players let up more.
There's also like a tankage of a set kind of thing to just play the next one. And there's also like funky math, who's serving first, right? 6-3 on a break versus 6-4 on a break. It's a whole thing.
Do you always sprinkle alts in there too? Because I always think about that too, Steve. Like if you're betting games, like total games, right? It could go way over or way under.
Is there any advantage to serve the first set, the first game of a set at all?
When you're doing totals?
No, when you're just sides. I wouldn't think there would be.
No, not exactly. No, no, not
secret
exactly.
Sauce.
Yeah. Okay, listen, you're going to stay with us for the podcast. Yeah. We're about to do the 13th annual Vegas Lifestyle Pod. Restaurants, Vegas hacks, sports books. We're doing it all. That'll be out later today. Thank you, Steve. We could have done six segments
with you. Thank
you
for having me.
The great Steve Fezzik, everybody. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.